live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The government launches a major consultation on the future of the NHS today, promising to put patients and staff at the heart of its 10-year plan. It comes as the health secretary says plans to offer weight loss jabs to unemployed obese people could help them and the economy. Here's Wes Streeting.
They're not the only solution, and I don't want to create a dependency culture. I also, by the way, should say, because there's been a lot of reaction to some of the things I've said this week, I'm also not interested in some dystopian future where I wander around kind of involuntarily jabbing unemployed people who are overweight. That is not the agenda.
New drivers under 21 should be banned from carrying passengers of a similar age for 6 months after passing their test. That's the view of the AA. It also wants them to be given 6 points for not wearing a seatbelt during the same time. Airstrikes have been carried out in Beirut and southern Lebanon by Israel, including on branches of a bank that it says is supporting Hezbollah. And the King's been heckled after giving a speech in Australia. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Peggy Walker.
Forceps. Pliers. Spanner.
Mr. Johnson,
I'm glad to say your dishwasher is going to make it.
Got a home emergency? With British Gas Home Care, we can fix boilers, plumbing, electrics and even kitchen appliances pronto. And now get 50% off for your first 6 months. Search British Gas Home Care to find out more. T's and C's apply. Ends 29th of October. No claims within first 14 days. Full price after 6 months. Kitchen appliance cover separate. New customers only.
Coming up, metaphorically speaking.
Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice are giving away 10% extra. Peacock USA Easy Cook Long Grain Rice is easy to cook, giving you consistent quality and fluffy separate grains every time. Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice has a subtle flavor, making it an excellent accompaniment to many of your favorite dishes. Great for jollof rice or jerk chicken. Enjoy Peacock USA Rice now with 10% extra. Easy cooking, easy eating, every time. Offer available while stocks last. Promotion supported by USA Rice.
I never thought of myself as the giving type, but I guess I am. I give my elderly neighbour's dog a walk every night, despite its barking being my alarm clock every morning. And I give blood when I can, because it helps combat cancer. It takes an hour and saves lives, like my mum's, who was here long enough to see her grandson take his first steps.
Kaya!
Coming! And she's still here. If you're the giving type, join the thousands of us giving blood every day. Book now at blood.co.uk.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Colorful.
Delia. Delore. Colorful Radio.
Hello and welcome to Metaphorically Speaking with me, Delia Delore. If you've not heard the show before, welcome. Get ready to learn with us as we dissect popular mottos, mantras and metaphors. We trace their origins and find how they translate into everyday life. Each week we have a special guest who resonates with their chosen expression. I have a very special metaphor today. And I know, if you have to be honest, you will actually say that you have experienced it. In today's episode, we will discuss the popular metaphor, walking on eggshells. Walking on eggshells is an idiom that means someone is being overly careful about the things they say about people as a means to not offend and upset. It is widely agreed that the etymology of the phrase is derived from the 1800s, from the fact that eggshells are easily broken if you were to walk on them, and those eggshells are symbolic of people's fragile feelings. It's a fantastic metaphor and describes situations we've all found ourselves in.
So you're saying everyone walks on eggshells to spare my feelings?
No. Of course not, because we don't want to hear you complain about how much you hate the sound of crunching eggshells.
I don't want my relationship with Amy to be like that.
Sheldon, Amy knew what she was getting into.
You think?
Yes, we warned her.
From the short clip you just listened to from The Big Bang Theory, we can understand how draining it is to be around someone that makes you have to walk on eggshells because of the way they react to things. Having to consider every word you say before you say it so you don't hurt their feelings is difficult to contend with. If you think about it, the most awkward moments in life occur when someone makes a comment that unintentionally upsets another person, and it all stems from someone forgetting to walk on eggshells correctly. They cracked one of them, and it made a noise when there was supposed to be silence. Honesty is the best policy, another metaphor, as we've heard, and it's no different in the world of friendships. They last when people are held accountable for their actions. And you're honest with one another. That's when friendships can blossom the most. Walking on eggshells can produce something called yes men in your life. And in turn, that makes someone walk through life in a bubble of delusion until it's popped by the real world. And they're brought back down to earth very quickly, in the worst way possible. An example of this happens a lot in the music world. Artists will record songs, and no matter how bad it sounds to the people around them, they will tell them how great it is, usually because they hold some sort of power over them, and it's the public who lets them know the song is bad, and by that time, it's too late.
In 1951... students at Swarthmore College were the subject of a curious experiment. Solomon Ash designed the experiment in which a few students would have to complete a seemingly easy task. Students would be shown a card with a line drawn on it. Then they would be shown another card, this time with three lines, all of different lengths. The task was to simply pick the line that matched the length with the one that they were shown earlier. The cards themselves always had lines that were longer or shorter than the correct line, including, of course, the correct line itself.
Cancel culture has rocked the lives of, quote, celebrities, unquote, since this somewhat abrupt introduction. It feels like for the better part of 10 years, everyone in a position of influence has to walk on eggshells for the rest of their professional careers. One wrong move and a person can lose everything faster than they gained it. One example of this comes in the form of past behaviours coming back to haunt them. Kevin Hart stepped down from his first ever Oscar hosting gig after backlash from homophobic tweets in his past. This has had some positive over the years that people have done things you could say are worthy to be cancelled. Harvey Weinstein and R. Kelly, when stories about them came out, it would have been a shock for a lot of people due to their popularity and status. But at the end of the day, it's forced people to be more careful about how they behave and hopefully for the better. However, it's created a culture of people being puppets to consumers. And therefore, you can never really know who a person is. In the Premier League, there's a lot of conversation around racism, and it's been a pioneer for the Kick It Out campaign. Yet when there is racism recorded in matches, it's not dealt with as strongly as their opinions about racism suggest. People with power nowadays often say things for the sole reason of not being cancelled. So it comes across more a virtue signalling than anything else at times. Ultimately, celebrities are on a minefield of eggshells that they have to walk through carefully, and if they crack just one, they can expect it to blow up in their face in the worst way.
Before we wrap up, I'm just going to do a really quick try not to laugh. I really enjoyed the last one. A really, really quick one. I've not got as many as I have, like I did last time. But,
okay.
Obviously, dark humour.
Yeah.
This is for all of you, by the way. All of you try not to laugh.
I didn't do very well last week, I don't think. But anyway.
You did good.
You didn't do that bad. I laughed for a lot.
On the flip side, with the introduction of a strict cancel culture in society, it's increased the need for content from people who run all over eggshells. Dark humour has been on the rise since the all-time high of sensitivity in the world. Some people love things where others are on the edge with what they say, and for a specific group of people, dark humour works to a T. It allows people to engage in a world of comedy not bound by the social norms you'll find in surface-level media forms. It's almost an escapism. Our writer says it's similar to how when he had a bad day at school, he would come home and play a driving video game for hours to clear his head, as if it were real. Dark humour perhaps works to a similar effect.
Several times a day,
Michael says words that are way beyond my vocabulary.
I know where this is going.
Do you?
No.
Okay. Remember spider face?
No.
Okay, because the quote was, cut off your nose to spider face.
Okay.
Yep.
How dare you all attack him like this?
No, stop it. Dwight.
Michael is your superior.
No.
Okay,
no.
You should be bowing Dwight, down in front of him. Hey,
way.
Hey, that's right now. Okay?
That is
no,
the
they
way
don't understand who they
you're
have.
Supposed to do
you're interrupting
it.
Me.
Idiot.
I'm trying
idiot.
To get your back. I'm
idiot.
Trying to... Are you
idiot.
Calling me an idiot?
Idiot?
Don't you ever talk to me that way. You pathetic, short little man. You don't have any friends or any family or any land.
That clip was taken from The Office, and if there's a group of people who are forced to not walk on eggshells based on the actions of others, it's the cast of The Office. After every episode, they could have been a roasting of Michael Scott. For the betterment of yourself and others, it's best to not let things gnaw away at you, especially if it's things that bother you, all for the sake of not hurting someone's feelings. Getting things that are troubling you off your chest at least shows someone to evaluate some of their bad habits and improve on them, even if their feelings are hurt a bit. Whereas if you bottle it up, there's no room for growth and it makes you feel stuck. I've heard people saying there have been times where they've been watching certain things. In fact, someone told me about the episode of in My Wife and Kids, where the husband and wife, Michael and Jay, were forced to name things they found annoying about one another. And as they kept listing things off that they had been keeping in, things got worse and it ended with a huge argument. And this is an example of what can happen when you keep things hidden. And within a healthy environment, it's good to be honest about how you're feeling.
I wanna show you you are. You should let me love you. Let me be the one to give you everything you want and need. A baby, good love and protection. Make me your selection. Show you the way love's supposed to be. Baby, you should let me love you, love you, love you, love you, yeah.
Sometimes we need to allow ourselves to be loved, and that means letting our guards down, clearing the area of all the eggshells surrounding your life and letting people in. It reminds me of when I first met my husband. We had a conversation about keeping things in because I noticed that he would keep things in from around what was happening around him. But then he would tell me, and then I'd say to him, you keep things in, you don't tell the people that you should tell, and you tell me. So it makes me think, if I do something that you don't like, you need to promise me that you're going to be able to tell me. And thank goodness he agreed to it. And then I saw, over the years, he has evolved and he now no longer keeps things in to anyone. He chooses the time and the place. And I think this metaphor is a really good one to examine how when you walk on eggshells, why would you want to do it? Why would you want to remain in that atmosphere? And saying that again, it reminded me of being in a relationship when I was younger where it was kind of failing. When I knew that he was coming home, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I really wish he wouldn't come. I really wish he wouldn't come, because I'd spend most of my time walking on eggshells, trying to avoid situations instead of facing them. I'm sure there are lots of people who know that feeling. Because, you know, humans are relational creatures. We thrive on positive and healthy relationships and are often on the lookout on how we can improve our current ones. With that being said, the biggest criticism I could give to walking on eggshells is how it promotes a lack of communication in people, which is what I've just finished saying. The most important thing in a relationship is to keep it healthy. And the way you do that is by communication. If you go a week without speaking to your significant other, the relationship is never going to blossom to its full potential. When your partner says something you don't like, instead of confronting the issue, you often find that people ignore the problem for the sake of keeping the peace. And this is only going to breed contempt and let unresolved frustrations fester.
And also, by the time you try to get that person to stop doing what they've done, it's too late because it's kind of fixed in how they are and you can't just change a habit just like that. It takes some time. Whereas if you avoid walking on eggshells all the time, you avoid all those problems by getting it out in the open. And that way you can work on those issues and improve or make the changes that you both want. But the other thing is, of course, as I mentioned earlier, communication. If you say it the wrong way, if you yell or shout or you turn your back when someone's trying to talk to you, then it's not going to work. So that's why I love this metaphor. Walking on eggshells gives you an opportunity to not only think about why, but think about the way to say what you need to say so that you no longer feel that you're walking on eggshells. So if you have any lingering thoughts you're yet to tell someone, don't tell the eggshells, stop the love. Break them and communicate. Our guest this week is Tamu Thomas, author, coach and speaker, who is passionate about empowering ambitious women and organizations to make a positive impact. She believes everyone can be connected to their purpose and be successful without toxic productivity and overfunctioning to prove their worth. So Tamu, welcome to Metaphorically Speaking. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have a very interesting metaphor. And when I heard it, I thought, oh my gosh. First thought was bad boyfriend. Want to get out because I'm walking on eggshells and this is not me anymore. How does that metaphor resonate with you?
It resonates with me in many ways, but the bad boyfriend, I want to get out, that kind of drama makes me think about my career in social work, how I was walking on eggshells, tolerating a career that was showing me very clearly it was never, ever going to be recognizing my needs, never mind meeting my needs. And if anybody is familiar with social work, it doesn't even meet your financial needs, okay? It's not a career that is well paid because like many caring professions, it is undervalued. And when I think about the metaphor you have presented, what comes up for me is the way that I was walking on eggshells around what life had in store for me, because I was so frightened of the uncertainty of trying something new that I kept literally walking on eggshells and causing myself pain until the pain got too severe and I had to just get off those eggshells and walk into the next phase of my life.
Let's go back a bit. Can you remember perhaps the first time you would have heard of that expression, walking on eggshells?
The first time I heard of the expression, walking on eggshells, it was definitely in relation to romantic relationships. It was overhearing big people's conversation. It was overhearing my mum's friend saying to her that she was fed up of walking on eggshells because she never knew which version of her husband. She never knew which version of her husband she was going to find when she went home or when he came home. And she was talking about walking on eggshells. And she also used the term, she felt like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Yes. Yes, I heard that as well. Yes. Where are your families, where do they originate?
Sierra Leone.
Ah, okay. Because that's a very Caribbean saying.
Yeah.
And I think very British as well.
I just think the commonality is colonialism.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's amazing. And that's what I love about metaphors. You'll find one that tells a particular story and you'll find another one which will tell a very similar story. So if someone doesn't get it the first time round, you can use another metaphor and they may get it that time round, regardless of where they come from.
Yeah.
But, you know, walking on eggshells, I try to always think of positive ways that metaphors can be used because most of them, their history, if we look back into the history books, they were actually said as things to aspire to, things to be positive. Mm-hmm. And in modern day, it appears to be more often than not that a metaphor is brought up to represent something negative or to try to explain something negative. Mm-hmm. And the only time that it tends to be one that you might be seemingly positive, or the ones that's glaringly positive, are the ones when you kind of pat someone on the back. But yeah. If you think about it, they're very few and far between, the ones that obviously pat you on the back.
Yeah.
And when we say walking on eggshells, you speak about how it resonates with you within your career. And I spoke within my relationship. And I think that most people would say one or the other. And probably, if we're honest, probably both.
Yes.
And I think being a Black woman has also enhanced how that metaphor would come across. Within your career, because you spoke about, you know, being in the caring profession, mm-hmm. you have branched out. You're still caring in your own yes. way, but you yes. have branched out. So tell us a little bit more about you and what you have done to prevent you from walking on these eggshells.
Well, this is going to sound so coachy and self-helpy, but those eggshells I walked on, they happened for me. They didn't happen to me. Because if I didn't have that experience, that very visceral experience of walking on eggshells, I probably still would have been in the social work profession. And I probably would have been really miserable and depleted and felt stuck, like I had no choice, like many of the people I know who still do local authority social work. So as much as I used the metaphor to highlight something that we would perceive as negative, that kind of led to me having a breakthrough. So my social work career was very depleting. I experienced burnout and I just knew I couldn't continue. I started to recognize that I was contributing to that experience of walking on eggshells, and I started my own personal development journey. In that personal development journey, I found the world of positive psychology. So I had a lot of experience with psychology because of my career in social work, but I had not heard about positive psychology before. And I really liked the fact that it's about the science of human thriving. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not thriving. I'm literally surviving. I'm just existing. There's a whole lot of life for me to live and I'm not living. I'm literally dragging myself through life. So I did a positive psychology course and I was talking to the lecturer about my next steps. And he was like, well, Tammy, you know that social workers are the coaches of the therapeutic world. You would probably be able to transfer your skills and offer some really great coaching. Because I was talking about wanting to help women. There were so many women around me that were overworking. It seemed like it was our modus operandi. We didn't realize there was any way, there was a different way to be. And as I thought about it, I thought, oh, coaching is social work for people that actually want it. Coaching is social work for people that recognize something is going wrong, or I'm not living my best life and it's causing me difficulty, or there are goals I want to reach and for whatever reason I'm not able to do it. And I just thought to myself, well, I've got the skills to be able to do that. I am somebody that when, like people always say, when they leave my company, they feel like they can take over the world. Mm-hmm. So I started to explore the world of coaching. And after a little bit of resistance, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the new girl. I'm going to be starting all over again. After some resistance, I was able to start my coaching practice, which has led to many wonderful things, including being a published author.
And tell us about your book.
My book, Women Who Work Too Much, was published very recently. It was published on the 5th of March. And I wrote the book as a galvanizing love letter to the nervous system of women who work too much. When people first hear the title, they often assume I'm talking about just within the workplace. And whilst I am talking about the workplace, I'm exploring the conditions that create an environment where women are working too much in every sphere of their lives. And a place that I observe women working too much the most is in heterosexual relationships. So I talk about how the conditions were created for us to overwork all the time, and the impact of the kind of messages that were pushed by the Reagan and Thatcher era about women, we can have it all, which actually meant we can do it all. has contributed to us being the least healthy, least satisfied we've been, despite having lots of technological and medical advances that on paper say we should be living these great lives, but we're too knackered to enjoy these lives we're building because it requires so much from us.
You know, that's amazing, because when I read some information about your book, the metaphor that came to mind wasn't walking on eggshells, but actually a woman's work is never done. Because it's true, you know, you might leave your, you know, your career or your workspace, and then you go home. It's not a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And if it is a career, your career sometimes is not a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. If you've got an office job that you, some people, you know, they personally say, I want to just work 9-to-5 and leave it at home. They can do that.
Yeah.
But not all of us do that.
Mm-mm.
And I just felt that when you speak about the nervous system in women, well, even if I say not even women, all of us, I think that women, we are principally the stronger sex. That's what textbooks tell us.
Yes.
But at the same time, because we take on so much, our strength goes to other people and depletes for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so for you to decide to write a book with that title, mentioning what you've just said, I think it's something that we should applaud and something that people should sit down and think, you know what, I'm going to have a little read of this to see where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. Now, at the top of your head, can you tell us maybe the list or the names of a couple of the chapters in the book?
My favorite, I think my favorite chapter is called Choosing You. And that is about, and I'm not talking about it in a very self-focused way. It's about getting to know ourselves and being able to choose ourselves, our needs, our wants and desires, because that helps us feel safe. And that helps us, when we feel safe, we have the capacity to then extend that grace to other people and meet them where they are, as opposed to where we want them to be. So it means that we're much more empathetic and compassionate to the people we have in our lives. And then that spills out to the rest of the world. So if you know yourself and you can cherish yourself, you can get to know other people, you can cherish other people. So I really like Choosing You. I also really like Be Your Nervous System's Best Friend, because I think if more of us understood how our biology works as a whole and how our autonomic nervous system works, we won't be telling ourselves off and shaming ourselves for being too sensitive, being too needy, not being organized. We will understand that our psychology is heavily influenced by our biology, and a lot of the isms and schisms and the ways we want to improve ourselves would be improved or would be tended to in a much more sustainable way if we understood that what we call a mindset issue or a limiting belief is actually our nervous system picking up a sign of danger and trying to prevent us from that danger. If you think about it, people like you, people who are interested in the work you do, are growth-minded people. Growth can feel like a threat to the nervous system because it's unpredictable. We're growing into a version of ourselves or an experience we haven't had before. So we don't have the capacity to predict what's going to happen. And because our nervous system, our bodies are designed to keep us safe, we don't need to grow to keep ourselves safe. So if we understand that, we won't give ourselves as much of a hard time. We'd actually be able to work with ourselves to cultivate a level of safety that enables us to be risk aware rather than risk averse. And then in our interpersonal relationships, in our work relationships, we will start to understand that people are often operating from a place of survival, which impacts how they engage with us. And when we understand that, we will be able to navigate those relationships better. And I don't mean we're making a whole load of excuses for people or that we are being avoidant and all of that kind of stuff. We can actually start to have challenging conversations in a manner that is sensitive and caring, so that we can actually start to create solutions that support us thriving.
Your explanation is the first time that I have heard the word anxiety explained in a way that I'm not scared. Because to me, what you've outlined is what a doctor would tell you is you're going through anxiety. when you have all these aches and pains in your body, that, you know, you're afraid of the future, or sometimes mm-hmm. you're not even consciously aware that you're afraid of the future. So your body's doing all these things. And of course, it's the nervous system. But yes. instead of them explaining that, I'm sorry, doctors, but because I've heard a lot of them online, I've spoken to a lot of them, and they don't explain it the way you do. And if I think they explain it the way that you did, without perhaps at the end saying, well, the medical term for that is anxiety, and I recommend that you do these, you know, try and be yourself, mm-hmm. try and do the things that you like to do. I don't want to put you on any medication at the moment. Let's just try, you know, have some time to yourself. Think yeah. about, you know, who you are and what mm-hmm. you'd like to do. And would you like me to get to speak to someone, a coach or someone? Let's go down that path first before I start giving you painkillers and yeah. and pills for anxiety and so on and so forth. So I applaud you. I just started smiling while you were saying that, because I thought, oh my gosh, this is, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is it's a form of what you explained there was a form of anxiety.
Absolutely. And anxiety is our body's way of telling us there's something going on that we should be terrified of. Now, our brains, our nervous system haven't evolved much since we were hunter-gatherers living out there. So I want everybody to recognize this. When we are feeling anxious because we've got a work deadline coming up and we're not sure whether or not we're going to be able to meet it, whilst we consciously are aware that we've got a work deadline and it's stressing us out, on a somatic level, on a nervous system level, in our amygdala, which is like our emotional response center, we experience that as if we are at risk of serious harm. So when we have the resistance, we can't do it, we're procrastinating, we're outsourcing, we don't feel like we can, all of those things are taking place because we feel under threat. So when you're aware of that and you understand that anxiety is a signal telling you there's something to be terrified of, you can then put it into context. So a regulated nervous system that is flexible and enables us to show up for life as it is, instead of wanting it to be this sanitized version of things. We need connection. We need context. We need choice. So when we're experiencing the anxiety, the first thing we need to do is connect with ourselves. As you're saying, what do I need? What will be supportive for me? With that connection, okay, I just need to slow down in this moment and think about what I've got going on and create a plan. So we give ourselves the context. The context is, I've actually just got too much on my plate. It's impossible for me to meet those deadlines. Then we can make a choice. And that choice can be, do I need some help? Do I need to say to people, I'm going to have to shift these timelines? Or do I just need to go out for a half an hour walk, not listening to a podcast, not just listening to the sounds of nature, so that you process with your body, you release some of that stress, and you know that by the end of that walk, you're going to come up with a solution. So it's really important for us to know this, because it's not that we are we're not capable. It's our biology doing exactly what it's designed to do. And we need to train ourselves. Deb Dana, who is a wonderful educator in relation to polyvagal theory and the autonomic nervous system, she talks about us becoming the active operator of our nervous systems. So if I know I freak out when I think I'm not going to be able to reach a deadline, being the active operator of my nervous system, I can do that. Connection, context, and choice piece. And then I can go a step further. I can start to preempt that. The same way when we have small children, we preempt. They're going to need a change of clothes. They're going to need a snack. They're going to need this. We can start to create our own kind of like baby bag, where we've got our things that we need to have in place to help prevent us from getting into that state of anxiety.
Yes. And I think the only other thing that I would add to that is that we also have to learn to let go.
Yes.
And there are certain things that are beyond what we can do. We just cannot change it. So for an example, a lot of women are carers to their parents.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Right. And we may be a certain age and we think, well, we can do it. We can work. We can do this. We can do that. But we also care as to our parents. And even though we may go to work, it doesn't mean that we're switching off from what's coming up in the weekend when it's our turn to look after mom and dad, or it's our turn to go and do the shopping, or all those kind of things. And there becomes a time when we have to say to ourselves, look, we love mom and dad, or auntie or uncle, or your guardian, your foster parent. We love these people who've looked after us. Mm-hmm. But now I have to look after myself. So you have to be able to, as you say, delegate.
Yeah.
Have you got the other siblings? Have you got enough money that you can say, okay, then I'm going to try and pay for someone to pay to care for them for half a day, or, you know, in the weekend, or so on and so forth. We have to learn sometimes that certain things are out of our control. We cannot change it, and we just have to let go.
Yes.
We have to, and sometimes, and not talking about parents and so on, but sometimes we have to let go completely and utterly and just say, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
It's like when we can't afford something and we decide, you know what, my son or daughter may want these trainers and they're £200 and I can only afford £100 and I know I'm not going to be able to, and I don't want to, or I don't want to spend another £100 on a pair of trainers when a £100 trainer I think is good. You have to kind of get that kind of attitude to say, as much as I would like to help this situation, it's too much for me. I am not good. And feel, I'm going to say feel good about it, but embrace yourself and say to yourself, I've done the right thing for me. I have not intentionally hurt anyone.
Absolutely.
And I've got to look after me. Because if you don't look after you, then you can't look after anyone else, can you?
And also the way we look after ourselves becomes the template. We role model how other people can look after us as well.
Yes.
And something in terms of that piece you just shared with regards to boundaries, many of us women, and depending on your cultural background, there's a lot of emphasis on being able to care for people. Part of your womanhood is conflated with your ability to care for people. And I remember when my granddad was very ill with dementia, it chewed us all out facing the fact that he would need to go to a care home because his needs were beyond what could be met in the family. And I came up with a protocol, because part of conditioning as women is that it's okay for you to feel bad, but it's not okay for you to look bad. So we overextend ourselves. So one of the things I ask myself is, if you weren't worried about looking bad, what would your answer be? If you weren't trying to please people, what would your answer be? And I allow that to inform my decision making, because what I realized in part of that eggshell process is a lot of my difficulties came from me not knowing how to say no. Before I could even feel that you shouldn't be doing this, I had already said yes and overcommitted myself. And it was very easy to do because I was rewarded for it. Yeah, you can rely on Tamu. Yeah, she will. It doesn't matter what's going on. She will make room. And it was to my own detriment, which meant in the long term, I was less able to give, and I wasn't able to give generously.
Yeah, well, you very nicely brought us back to our metaphor, walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. What would be your final words to say to someone who is in a situation where they are walking on eggshells? What is the first thing you think they should do?
Journal. When I first started my journey, I had a little A5, I think that size is called, journal that was in my bag. And every time I felt resentment, I felt anxious feelings, I felt like I would journal about it. Mm-hmm. Because then I started to see my thought, and you have to read the journal as well. Mm-hmm. And then I started to see my thought processes, and I was then able to track how external things was influencing my behavior. So I started to really get to know myself, because I didn't really know myself from the inside out. I knew myself from the outside in. So it gives you some really great data. And then you need to start making choices. So part B to that would be, not everybody can afford coaching. I know that the pricing can be prohibitive, but find yourself a good friend. A friend that can meet you where you are, a friend that's growth-minded, not somebody that will say, you're not grateful, your life is so good, what are you complaining about? Somebody that you're able to discuss these things with, and they're able to give you a really good listening to, as opposed to a really good talking to.
Well, Tamu, thank you so much for your time. But before you go, can you tell us where we can buy your book, Women Who Work Too Much?
You can buy it everywhere. Everywhere they sell books, my book is available. It's available in the UK, America, Australia,
India, I think Singapore. So if you go onto Amazon, you can find it there. And if you prefer to shop via independent retailers, if you go to thebookshop.org, you'll be able to buy it from an independent retailer.
Thank you so much for spending your time with us and for sharing the positivity of our metaphor.
In some scenarios, walking on eggshells is appropriate. It could be done out of respect for someone. And in that case, it's fine. For example, if you go to your grandparents' house and there's a funny smell throughout your visit, that's an apt time, if ever, to walk on eggshells to make sure you don't slip up and say the wrong thing. Why? Because in that scenario, there's no real benefit in letting it all out. It would be rude. But again, as I said earlier, communications and using the keywords. Another scenario where walking on eggshells is appropriate is during a time when you're required to comfort someone. People might be going through hardships, and even though beforehand you used to joke around and let loose around that person, a time of comfort is not the time. From a religious standpoint, a Bible verse that relates very much to the topic of walking on eggshells is, "Be slow to speak."
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires.
Being slow to speak is a quality very few people achieve on this journey we call life. We always want to put our thoughts and opinions out there as soon as we think of them. Just go on Twitter for proof. And often, the things we immediately think definitely shouldn't be said out loud. People can often be judgmental in their way of thinking initially. That's where the phrase, "don't judge a book by its cover," is derived from. So it's definitely to our benefit to really think hard before we say certain things.
I'm upset. 50,000 on my head is disrespect. So offended that I had to double check.
We all get triggered by things. There's always that one topic that, if brought up, gets us upset and uncomfortable quickly. And that's okay. Being sensitive isn't a sign of weakness. It's good to have boundaries that people know not to cross. If people know that talking to you about a certain subject leads them to feel like they're walking on eggshells, then they won't want to come near you. They'll just leave you with your issues, which in turn sometimes leaves people room to make it appear like you are so unapproachable that somebody else shouldn't try. Walking on eggshells is ultimately about watching what you say in certain scenarios. In a society where not offending people is a high priority on everyone's list, it's an important skill to master. It may be annoying, but it's something all of us have to exercise at various points in our lives. It's inevitable, so we might as well do it right. In some cases, it's the right thing to walk on eggshells, as it's not good to make others feel offended. However, in other cases, walking on eggshells is not the right way to do things, as it can stunt growth and encourage a lack of communication, which is to the detriment of a healthy relationship. Here's a few words of a song that talks about walking on eggshells. Can't stand the pain I'm in, can't stand the pain you give. It's like I'm walking on eggshells. Do you recognize the words? Here's Estero, "Walking on Eggshells."
Woke up with a morning sun, can't stand the pouring, it a sound of the rain on the window. I'm not one for mornings. You say, "Hey girl, where you going? You're standing on the edge, don't look down now, watch your step now, you're changing your direction." Yeah, walk, yeah, walk alone. Can I walk, can I walk, can I walk alone? And I walk, can I walk, can I walk alone? Can I walk, can I walk, can I walk alone? I woke up with a hot forehead, I don't know what's wrong with me. I wait for the bus and a stranger says, "Is there something wrong?" You see my fear, I'm disappearing, I'm stranded with the
walk, yeah, I walk alone. Can I walk, can I walk, can I walk alone? Can I walk, can I walk, can I walk alone? Can I walk, can I walk, can I walk alone? I'll leave with a man I know. He starts talking sense with me. His eyes so cold, they reflect the glow of candlelight. And as he sits across the table, my defenses are unable to protect me at my best. I'm led by his erection.
And here's a song I immediately thought of as soon as I heard this week's metaphor, walking on eggshells. Why? Because to me, it signifies the relief that you feel when you no longer walk on eggshells. It's Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine.
And I just can't wait till the day when you knock on my door.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode of Metaphorically Speaking. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it was thought-provoking enough for you to return. We'd love you to share the show with your friends and families and your work colleagues, and don't hesitate to leave a review on colorful.com or on our podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, which is on Apple, Spotify, and all streaming platforms. If you'd like to suggest a metaphor for an upcoming show, you can reach us at info@metaphorically-speaking.uk. Join us for another metaphor next week. I'm Delia Delore. Keep safe. Till then, goodbye.
Remember, we don't stop until the music stops, and the music never stops on Colorful Radio.
Do you remember first time you heard the legend in leather? The career ended with the road killing stop to his fender. I'm on another bender, drunk off the power to make a coward surrender as I devour contenders. Talking foul of whoever, your head is about to get severed. Then about to with pleasure, I'm pouring out, I'm a redder. Homies, I won't forget them, so tap the bottle and pour it. Supermodels, I ignore them, later on it's like pouring. Reincarnation of the ripper, I give stitches and chest zippers. Cinderella's get propelled out the glass slippers. Time is ticking, giving ass whippers. How we keep the cash slipping?
I can't understand a single word you're saying. I think you have syrup brain. About to finish you like polyurethane. All that molly poly sure to drain your spinal fluid from your vertebrae. This the murder gram and I brought my murder game. My shit fire, that is why you log on it like Duraflame. As far as boulevards, I'm talking about farmers like insurance pays. I just blew your girl away, but she on someone's growing lean. I call that Katrina, somebody better give her a cane.
And that's on everything, but she let my heavy chain. My yellow diamond shining, got a whipping like lemon meringue. Slipping in front of the gang, she slipping inside of the range. Quick to go out with a bang, it's like I threw out a grenade. When the killing will begin, you feel me pulling off your skin. I really came to get in and deliver murder grams. Turn over your ambulance, 30 bullets in advance. Candlelight and crying fans, we gon' win it by a landslide up behind you, testing my rifle. Give blessings to my disciples, professional. I'm a sniper like 8 miles away. Me, I'm also doing murders with dirty burners. Break them down and melt them in the furnace.
Unapologetic, and we're gonna cause a headache. Me and Ella about to set it. We about to murder Grammy. Anyone and y'all can get it.
So you might as well forget it. Either way, you will regret it. Cemeteries where you're headed.
Yeah. No message in the chorus, you bastards got nothing for us. The overlord is the I ain't talking about a rental car when I'm pulling the Taurus. It's Halloween, them candy bars that get you killed in the forest. We are lyrically lawless, stack of money, hardest. Start to make you forget all that slick and shit that you thought of. Blow your mind with the sword off. Just when you thought it was safe, we busting at you from the rake. They're hitting the donut, ain't nothing sweet when we come into play.
I say that you ain't fucking with wine. Do not mean kisses blue, but I got the potential to fucking flip when I mention with a pinch to come back with a vengeance. Like Jack the Ripper, ripping, just giving you a sample of fucking snippet. Like scissors do now when I hit the booth. I think of the days I open, I was quick to fool. Used to fly off the handle like a fucking creature's bloom. I called it plucking flowers because I was so quick to pick it. Tulip.
Click, click.
Like it's Petunia, sick medulla. But thanks to Kuja, he created a monster. Yeah. Spaghetti sauce and mozzarella on a tray full of pasta. Well, you got a couple of motherfucking train killers on ya. And I'm just being as Frank as Sinatra. When I be saying that I'ma keep that you gangster as mobsters. But when you got fanatics going so crazy, they mob ya. Looking like organized crime because you can't get a mafia. And all your motherfucking enemies, they wanna off ya. Like Hoffa, and dump your body in Lake Minnetonka. That's how you know you fucking saw and you came and you conquered.
Vinny Bitty beat you stomping and making them bark.
Now women treat me like BDK, the king, and they feed me grapes. Either way, I got more. My plate than an oil you beneath my face. I better pick a BC day, cause your history is shady. Is they about to set it on you like a TV tray, man. I see the way people say I'm so evil. They fucking think that Timothy McVeigh and my DNA are exactly the same. But when I leave this game, things just ain't gonna be the same. But it's a need of change, and I'm the meter maid. Go ahead and crack a bottle, cause this is E&J. Meaning me and James, got that avocado. And we the sociopaths, and we got your hoe on our laps. We're going back to Cali.
Thinking of my program so you can understand.
friendship. Night is more than many. So I'll keep a homie somewhere you can vanish. Why, body girl, and you get from Atlanta? You got, I got different cities, but all of you. And yeah, it's overdue, but rather say something now before you find something new. I got
jealousy. I want you all to me, but I can't get you all.
I'm on 10 again, I'm the friend again. I need the hella thick, brown skin, melanin. Peep small things, you tentative. You said I love you, you said you open to anything. Did that mean anything? I leave, but I never play ya. I hurt you, but never lie. I crush, but I'm not a player. I hardly split the tie. I'm home for a weekend, we linking, I beatin'. I was thinking it was better we be friends. Cause I want you all to me, but I can't give you all of me. You don't know about, you don't know about all the things that you forget. Like you don't know about all the things, all we did to get to you. Who gon' go about all the things,
Colorful Radio.
But I'm strong.